Something on my heart this morning that when I was riding up the highway the other day and out in the country and just meditating on the Lord, and He's precious to me today. I'm so thankful that He comes and visits with me no matter where I'm at. Some people think they got to be in church for the Lord to visit with them and talk to them. I'm glad He talks to me more outside the church than He does inside the church. I'm glad today that I've got a Savior that's always present in my life. And I tell you, He's so wonderful. And I was riding along and I began to think about the relationship that I have with the Lord and how wonderful it is and how precious He is to me, and how I came by having that relationship with Him. Began to think about how that He came into my life and into my heart. And just one thing led to another. And I started thinking about the pathway that I walk with Him. And I'm glad today. The Bible said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. Few be that find that way." And He said, "Broad is the gate and wide is the way it leadeth to destruction, and many be that go therein." And I begin to think about that pathway that I walk on with Jesus, and these scriptures came to my heart in Jeremiah chapter number 6. I began to study on this, and Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because he preached so much. And just like me today and other ministers, I guess Brother William feels the same way a lot of times, and other preachers that I know, that you preach your heart out and nobody seems to pay any attention to you. Jeremiah preached the word and people just kind of, they enjoyed it, but they said, "We ain't going to do what you said anyway." But in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah, verse number 16, the Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken." Father, we thank You for the reading of Your word today. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the service, for the songs, God, for Your Spirit. Lord, I thank You, Father, today for our relationship, and Lord, for You always being a present help in time of need. God, I'm so grateful today that You take time out for somebody like me, Father, that undeserving as I am, but Lord, yet You love me. I'm so grateful today. Father, I'm thankful that I found You precious to my heart many years ago. Lord, I ask You to go with us through this service. Father, bless and anoint the preaching today. Father, hide me behind the cross one more time. God, that only Jesus would be able to speak to these people today. Help us now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these favors. Amen. Now, the Bible said here in the reading in Jeremiah, in chapter number 6, the Bible says that Jeremiah, here in this 16th verse, he said to stand in the way and see and ask for the old path. And I'm glad today that I got started down the old path a long time ago. A lot of people, they like it on the new path. I drive a lot of times. I prefer going through the country rather than going down the interstate. I just like to do that. I've done an awful lot of interstate driving, but if there's a back road to be took, I'd just rather take the back road. I just like that. It just
get out by myself, just get out where I can see something and get out where I can just be alone. People say, well, that takes a little longer. Well, sometimes it does. I've traveled a lot of miles and got a lot of places while other people are sitting in traffic jam on the interstate. So it's not always the case that it's faster on the big road. But I tell you, I'm glad today that I found an old pathway that leads to heaven. I'm glad today that I found a pathway that I can walk on, that Jesus walks on with me. And I'm glad for His presence in my life on that pathway as we walk. I'm glad today that He walks beside me and leads me on that pathway that leads home. And I'm glad today for the old church house where I got saved at. I'm glad for all the old churches that I've been to in my life. And I begin to think as I was riding up the road just two or three days ago, and I was thinking about some of these things, and I thought about the pathway and the old path, and I thought about where the old path leads to, and I thought about where the old path don't lead to. And I, you know, a lot of people today, they say, well, I'm going the same way you are. No, they're really not. They tell me a lot of times, preacher, you never get up where I'm at. I say, I don't guess I will, because we going in two different directions, and I'll never catch up with you going the opposite way. But I'm glad today that I'm going the way that Jesus wants me to go. And I begin to think about that pathway and where it leads. And Jeremiah said to stand and see and ask for the old path. I'm thankful for the old path today. I'm thankful for the people that walked on this old path before I got on it. I'm glad today. You know, you get on a path sometimes out here in the woods somewhere, and it's kind of started to grow up a little bit, and you can look at it and you can tell that not many people pass them this way anymore. But I'm glad there's still enough people on this old pathway that they're keeping it beat down for me, and I can travel on a pretty clear path because others have traveled this way before I did. I begin to think about where this whole path leads. And have you ever started someplace? I have a lot of times. And you get to going down the road and you think, well, you know, I don't know if I turned the right way back there. I don't know if I'm going the right direction, but I know I've been down here before. And if I'm going the right way, then there's a landmark down here that I should be coming up on pretty soon. I should be seeing that old water tower. I should be seeing that old school building or something down here that I know if I'm going the right way, I'm going to get there just in a minute to that. And I know that I'm headed the right direction. I'm thankful today that the old pathway that I walk on today, I can tell if I'm going the right way because the old path leads by the old-fashioned church house. I'm glad today for the old-fashioned church. I'm glad for what the church symbolizes in my life. And I'm glad for what the church means to me today. And I'm glad that if you're on the right path and you're going the right direction, after a while you're going to come to the old-fashioned church house. You're not going to have any problem recognizing the old-fashioned church because there's an old-fashioned choir that still sings the old-fashioned hymns of God. They still got the Spirit of God in their singing. I'm so glad for the old-timey way of worship. I'm so glad for the old-timey songs that they sang in that old-fashioned church house where I like to go so often. I'm glad that this pathway home about every two or three days leads me to the old-timey church house. I'm glad that I get to hear the wonderful choir singing and people lifting up the name of Jesus in song. I'm glad of that today. If you're going the wrong direction, no, you're not going to find that. You know what you're going to find if you're going the wrong way? You'll pass a church or a place they call a church. Well, anymore, they don't even call them churches. What they like to call them now is fellowships. and what they like to call them now is worship centers. But you know something today, I don't go much for that. And I know that if there was a lot of people hear this message this morning, I know there's going to be a lot of people going to get upset about what I'm fixing to say. But I want you to know something this morning. If you like to go to the worship center and you like to go to the fellowship center, I'll tell you something, that's okay if that's what you want to do, but I love to go to the church. I'm thankful today for the church. I'm glad today that Jesus died for the church. He didn't die for the fellowship center. He didn't die for the worship center, but he died for the church. People today, they're ashamed, I guess, or I don't know what it is, but they start a new work, or a lot of times they even change and they'll take an old timey Baptist church and they'll change the name of it to Worship Center. You know what? I think they believe that if they change it to Worship Center, it's not as offensive and people might come a little more. We can fill up a worship center a lot faster than we can fill up a church. We'll just call it Worship Center and people will feel a little more at ease and they'll come into our worship center. They'll come into our fellowship place if we call it a fellowship. If we just say we're going to have fellowship, well, you know something, we're going to have fellowship tonight after church, but it's not got very much to do with the Spirit. After we get through with the Spirit tonight and after we get through the church tonight, we're going to go and feed the flesh then. We're going to go and sit down and have what we here at the church like to call cake fellowship, and that's a fellowship when you get together and you can talk and powwow one with another and sit down and drink a cup of coffee and eat with one another. That's what I call fellowship. But what we're doing here this morning is church as far as I'm concerned. I'm thankful that the path that I'm walking on leads by that old timey church. Oh, listen, you can go into the fellowship today. They're not going to be singing the songs like they sang in the church. They like to sing the new song. I got two emails this week. Brother Byron probably got them too. I don't know if he didn't. He probably gets a lot more than I do. People wanting to know, that one in particular said, they don't know if I'm contacting the right person or not, but we'd like to come to your church and worship with you and song. And I looked at them and I saw their picture and I pretty much immediately knew that I wasn't interested. And then they said, here's a sample of our music. And I clicked on that and I listened about one line and I said, nope, they are not coming to Highland. You know, I mean, they can go somewhere else. If they call that worship, I don't call that worship. They call that praise, I don't call that praise. They call that hymns, I don't call that hymns. I got another one from somebody else just two or three days later. And they said, we got a deal for you. We're going to come to your church and it's only going to cost you $1,100 plus our motel. Well, I already pretty much knew they wasn't coming. And they said, here's a sample of our music. And I it's so disgusting. I told my wife yesterday, I put it on. I said, listen to this. They want to come to Highland and sing. I listened to about a half a verse first time I turned on. Yesterday, I tried to listen to, they got five or six songs, I guess, there, and I was going to listen to all of them. Just see if they said anything about Jesus in any of them. And I listened to about three of them, and I was about to get sick, and I just finally turned it off. You can call that singing a hymn if you want to. I call it rock and roll music. That's all that it was. When it started out, you that's old enough to remember that old song, The Ventures, I believe, did way back in the 70s or maybe in the 60s, Wipeout. You remember that? They start off on the drum and all it was, just a big, that's the way they start this song that they call a gospel hymn. I like drums. I'm not against them. But I like to hear somebody sing the songs about Jesus. I want to hear somebody sing a song about the old rugged cross. I want to hear about the blood that was shed on Calvary for the sins of me and the world today. I want to tell you something. I listened to about three or four of those songs, and not one time did they mention God, Jesus, the blood, the cross, salvation, none of that stuff, and they want to come here and sing. Oh, listen, they can go to the worship places. They can go to the fellowship places. They ain't coming to the church. I'll tell you something. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I want you to know something today. And it's odd that Brother Kurt and Sister Alma sung that song this morning. They told me they'd been practicing that. And I was thinking about that song as I was thinking about this message. I thought, here, people, they want to change the name of the church to something else. But I want to tell you something. If it satisfied God, if it satisfied the Son of God to call it church, then it satisfies me just fine to say church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's one thing you're going to find if you're on the right path that I'm walking on today. If you're on the right path that's leading to heaven, you're going to pass the old-fashioned church house. And you're going to hear the songs, Amazing Grace, and the old rugged cross. And I'll stand for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Tell me more about Jesus. Oh, listen, them songs, they'll stir your heart up. They'll get you stirred up. When you hear that kind of thing, it gets you stirred up, makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and makes you want to jump up and holler, glory, hallelujah. That's the kind of songs I'm talking about. And that's how you know if you're passing by the old-timey church, that's what you'll hear. Another thing that you'll hear in the old-timey church house, you'll know that it's there. You'll know you're on the right path and you're at the right church because you got an old-fashioned preacher that still preaches the timeless message of salvation. Oh, I'm glad today. The world can change it any way they want to change it. But Jesus don't ever change. God said in Malachi chapter number 3, He said, because that I'm God and I don't change. People today, I get so tired of hearing people say, preacher, we're in 2008. I'm well aware of what year we're in. I know it probably better than a lot of you do because I'm getting older, and the more years that pass, the older I get and the worse I'm starting to feel. I feel every year. I've got aches and pains in places I used to didn't even know I had places. And don't tell me what year it is. I know. And I know another thing, the same God that said way back yonder in 6,000 years ago, He said, let there be light. He's the same God today that said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell not going to prevail against it. And He's the same one that said, I'm God and I ain't never going to change. God's the same. Church and the worship places, that's what's changing. It's not God, but I'm glad. I was thinking the other day, this path that I'm on, it leads me beside the old-fashioned church where the old-fashioned preacher preaches old-fashioned message about Jesus and salvation. You know something else you find in the old-fashioned church? You'll find a group of people, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the lay members, the prayer warriors, the people that's on the prayer chain, all those folks that's in that old-fashioned church. They're seeking, they're praying and seeking the will of God. That's what you find in the old-fashioned church. In the new modernistic fellowship centers and worship centers and all those other places that used to be called churches that they don't call that anymore. You know what you find there? They got to be seeking their own will. If they wasn't, they'd look in the Bible and see that it said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And they do that. They seeking their own will. They say, let's do it this way. Ah, Brother Byron, if we do it like this, we get more people to come. Brother William, if we start this activity and that activity, we can fill her up. Brother Frank, if we do this and if we lighten up on that and change this and turn this around, people be flocking here. But what'll they be flocking to if they're not flocking to Jesus and they're not going to get saved when they get here? What good is it? I'm glad today that the path, Jeremiah said to ask for the old path and walk in it. I'm glad today that I found the old path, and I'm glad that I love walking on the old path. You know what, every once in a while, I see where somebody's passed before me. I think it's my grandfather's footprints. I think it might be my grandmother that passed this way before me. Brother William said something about his grandmother the other day. He said, good morning. She said it would be if Jesus came or something like that. You know, she died looking for Jesus to come. And Brother William, on this old path, every once in a while, you're going to see her footprints. She was there before you. She walked this old path before you got here. I'm so glad, so thankful for the old saints of God that walked this path before I did. Every once in a while I see tear stains on an old-fashioned altar where somebody's got saved, where somebody found Jesus, and I know I'm still on the right path. Every once in a while I find where somebody has got down with a burden and unloaded it there on that old altar and went on without it. Oh, when you're on the old path, you see these kind of landmarks and you know that you're still going the right direction. Oh, I'm so glad today that Jesus, He knows the ways. Thomas said, Lord, Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, He said, I'm going to make a place for you. And Thomas said, how are we going to know how to get there? We don't know the way. And Jesus said, because I'm going to come and get you. Oh, listen, He's had people walk this way before us. If we just get behind them and walk behind them, oh, listen, you're not going to hear the old-fashioned message of salvation. A friend of mine was invited to preach at a fellowship down in Lenore City, I believe it was, and he went down there and he stood up and he said, I preached the message of salvation to that congregation. And he said, the pastor cornered me outside and said, buddy, we don't need that Jonah preaching around here. He said, preacher, what do you think they mean? I said, well, Jonah preached repentance. Apparently, he don't want anybody coming in there and preaching repentance. You know why? Because in the new modernistic church, you're going to find that feel-good message that everything's going to be all right. It don't matter if you're saved or not. You don't have to be saved. Everything's going to be all right anyway. It's what I call a feel-good message, and they're just going to tell you what you want to hear and tickle you on the ears and send you out smiling, and you're still lost without God, but at least you're happy. Never preach anything to convince you of any kind of sin. But I'm thankful for on the old path. Oh, I tell you, sometimes I hear a preacher preach and I think, boy, oh, that's good preaching. I mean, preacher, you like preaching? I sure do. Preacher needs to preach too every once in a while too. I tell you, I need somebody to refuel me every once in a while. And I love to hear the old-fashioned message. I love to hear the old-time preaching. And I tell you, I wouldn't give much for a preacher that couldn't stir my heart and step on my toes a little bit every once in a while. I don't want a preacher that ain't never going to mess with my life. Ain't never going to get anything stirred up or shuffled around in it. I want somebody that's going to tell me the truth. And I want to tell you something. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a division. Listen, when the preacher gets up and preaches, he'll divide your sins. The Word of God will. He'll divide you. He'll start whacking you up that two-edged sword, and he'll start cutting out everything you don't need. If you had cancer, you'd be going to the doctor today and say, can you cut it out? Well, sin's worse than cancer. And you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, can you take that two-edged sword and cut it out? Get it out of me. I don't want it anymore. It's killing me. Oh, listen, you'll never find that. If you're going on the wrong path, that church that you go by, that fellowship place you go by, you ain't going to hear that kind of preaching. But if you're on the right path, you're going to hear the old-timey Word of God preached. I'm thankful today. And it wasn't just for me to get saved either. It's to keep me. Paul said, the preaching the gospel to them that perish is foolishness, but to us that's saved, it's the power of God. I got to have that power in my life. Thankful for the message. It's got the Spirit of God in it. I'm thankful today that I've got a message and I can hear a message that's got the Word of God in it and got the power of God about it. And the singing and the preaching that you hear in these other places ain't got no power, ain't got no spirit, and ain't got no conviction. My wife said, don't say ain't got no. Well, I'm sorry, I'm just country, I can't help it. She fusses at me all the time. She said, don't say ain't got no. I said, what am I supposed to say? I ain't got no other thing to say. But if you ain't got no conviction, you ain't got no conversion. Because you've got to have conviction in your heart. If you don't know you're a sinner, you ain't never going to be saved. You got to be preached to in such a way that it convicts you before you can ever come to Jesus. I'm so glad that the preacher got up the night I got saved and he told me that I was going to hell. It didn't sound good to me, but I needed that. And I said, boy, he's scaring me to death. And I heard one preacher the other day, or he called himself a preacher, I don't know, and he said, you don't get saved to keep from going to hell. I said, that's exactly why I got saved. I didn't know nothing about what heaven had to offer, but I knew one thing. This preacher said I was going to hell, and I didn't want that. And I got saved so I wouldn't have to. And then after I got saved, I said, you mean all this other stuff comes with it? Oh, I'm glad I found the old path to walk in. I got to move on, I tell you. But listen, I'm so grateful this morning for the old pathway that we walk in. Another way you'll be able to recognize the church is by the preacher. Another way, by the prayer warriors. I want to tell you something today. If you're walking on the pathway that's leading the wrong way, if you're on the wrong road, you're not going to find all that stuff. Because listen, this new modernistic way of doing this new modernistic things that they do today, I tell you that I wouldn't give you a nickel for every song that they sung that didn't have something to do with Jesus. You know, I heard a song one time years ago. I don't listen to country music. I don't listen to rock and roll music. I tell people not to. And young people, I want to tell you, I don't listen to rock and roll music, and I don't listen to country music. I listen to gospel music. If it don't glorify God and praise God and lift up the name of Jesus, it ain't worth listening to. And that's just how it is. You say, well, preacher, I like my country music. Well, that's up to you. That's between you and God. I used to too, and then I started getting close to God and I found out it wasn't any good. But you know something? And you go into some of the stores and you go into places and they got it blaring and you hear it and you walk in, you hear this song they used to play that said, prop me up beside the jukebox when I die. Y'all ever heard that? Does that glorify God in any way? I mean, I won't to prop me up beside the jukebox and put a stiff drink in my hand and all my friends get drunk. Now, how is that glorifying God? And let me ask you something. Who here would want that at your funeral? I mean, how many would want to be propped up by the jukebox with a glass of whiskey in your hand and all your friends be drunk? I mean, that is, I'm sorry. And that's what that music portrays. I've got an achy, breaky heart. Well, I got news for you. I've got a remedy for that. If you'll come to Jesus, He'll fix your achy, breaky heart and you won't have it anymore. I mean, I ain't got no use for that stuff. If you do, that's between you and God, like I said. But listen, there was a song one time came out 20, 30 years ago that said a man sung a song about writing the perfect country song. And he wrote it to this guy and he sung it and the guy wrote him back another verse and said, that's not the perfect country song because it didn't mention mama and it didn't mention her dying and it didn't mention drinking and it didn't mention any of these other adulterous things that a country song is supposed to say. So it's not the perfect country song. And I thought about, you know, people today writing this gospel music and a lot of it don't say nothing about Jesus. It don't say nothing about Calvary. It don't say nothing about the blood of Jesus that was shed. It don't say anything about the old rugged cross and yet they think it's the perfect song. The perfect song talks about the love of God. The perfect song would say there's room at the cross for me. The perfect song would say on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The perfect song would say Jesus gave it all. The perfect song would say, tell me more about Jesus. So if your songs don't say things like that, you need to change your music. That's enough about that. But listen, another thing that I was thinking about as I was riding up the highway, I was thinking about another way that you know you're on the right path, another landmark that you see is the old rugged cross. Oh, listen, I went to that old-fashioned church and they led me to the old rugged cross. And that old rugged cross is where I found Jesus, the Son of God, nailed, hung between heaven and earth. The Bible said that he had to be hung on a tree. And he said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm telling you something today. If you're on the right path and you pass by the old church house and you hear the old-fashioned singing and preaching and praying and shouting and you go on, you'll find the old rugged cross just right over the hill. Oh, listen, on a hill far away, that's where it's at. The world don't want that today, church. They don't want anything to do with the cross. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with the Word of God. Don't want to have anything to do with God's commandments. But yet they want to go to heaven. It don't work like that. I'm glad today that I found the old path. I'm glad today that I have found the way, the road that Jesus said to walk on. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that where the Bible said to remove not the old landmarks. The Bible teaches several verses in the Bible in Deuteronomy and different places where God said a man was cursed if he moved the landmarks. The Bible said for a man to not move his neighbor's landmarks. It says don't move the landmarks that the fathers have set up. I want to tell you something, this way that our fathers, starting with Peter, there on the day of Pentecost, he went out and preached the word of God to them folks that's there. There's people there from every nation on the face of the earth, and Peter got out there and preached to them, and it convicted their hearts so much. You know what their question was? Men and brethren, what can we do to right this wrong? And Peter said, you can repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And 3,000 people got saved that day. They don't want to hear that message anymore. These new modernistic ways, these new modernistic churches, they've removed the old landmarks. They don't want the old rugged cross. They don't want the message of salvation. They don't want the message of repentance. But I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost, it's the only thing that's going to save you. If you're here today and you've turned your back on God, you say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm not living where I need to be. You need to take heed to that message that's come now, the old-fashioned church house, because that's the only thing that's going to get you back to Jesus. This new stuff, this feel-good. There's a man here in the United States, got a church, got over 20,000 people in there. I don't know how many it is now, way numbers up there. He said, what do you think about adultery? I don't preach against that. What do you think about alcoholics? I don't preach against that either. What do you think about fornication? We just don't go there. What do you think about homosexuality? Hey, we don't ever say that in our church. And I'm thinking, what does he preach? If he don't preach against sin, he don't ever preach. You can't preach Jesus without preaching against sin. What's he preaching? He's preaching how good you are. Preaching how you appreciate how much money you put in the offering plate. Just keep bringing it and we won't say nothing about your old rotten sin, even if you ain't no count. That's what they do. Listen, that's not going to save anybody. It's not going to bless anybody. I'll tell you, I've preached before, not very many times, but I have preached before and people get up and start shouting. Oh, yeah, preacher, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, it really did happen a few times. People, you can shout over the Word of God. The Word of God is precious. And that Word is something that I find on the old path all the time. I'm glad that every few days it leads me beside another old church house. I'm glad every few days I get a glimpse of the old rugged cross. I'm glad every few days I hear the saints of God praying for the lost and praying for the sick. I'm glad that every few days it leads me beside where some other old saint of God's passed before me. Oh, I'll tell you, I've been in places, and I'm somewhat of a historian. I'm going to close in just a second, but I love to go. When I was running all over the countryside, I'd go through a place, and I'd think, man, just think, old so-and-so came through here one time, 100 years ago or 200 years ago or whatever, and on this pathway that I'm on, I travel this pathway, and every once in a while, I think, boy, that old preacher that preached to me when I got saved, he walked down this path one time. Oh, them old saints of God that gathered around me and prayed that night, they walked down this path one time. I can see the evidence of the children of God that's passed by here before me. I'm so thankful today for the old-fashioned way. I'm so thankful for the old path. I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to find the old path and walk therein. He said to ask for it, look for it, stand still till you find it. You know, so many people today, they don't stand still and wait till they find the right way to go. They just take off. And you know what? When you just jump up and take off, you know what you're doing most of the time? You're liable to take off in the wrong direction. Don't know where you're going. My wife's grandfather said about her uncle, her cousin one time, said he could be standing out there in the field beside of me. So I'd tell him, hey, go down here. And he said, that's all I'd get out. And he'd take off just to fly. And he said, where are you going? Well, you said, I didn't told you where to go yet or what to do when you get there. That's the way a lot of people are. They just run, take off, and they go on the wrong. Don't even know which way they're going. Jeremiah said, stand and see and ask for the old path. And then when you find it, walk in it. And they said, we're not going to do that. That's the way the majority of the world is today. What about you? Are you asking for the old path? And when you find it, will you walk in it? Or are you going to be like those of Jeremiah's day and say, we ain't not going to do that? He said, I set watchmen before you. And he said, they're going to blow the trumpet. And you need to hearken. And they said, we're not going to hearken. You know what the trumpet is? It's the word of God. Isaiah, there's a verse in Isaiah, and I can't quote it right now, but I can look it up for you if you need me to, but there's a verse in Isaiah that talks about the trumpet being sounded, and it's the word of God being preached. He said to the watchman, blow the trumpet. I'm a watchman today that the Lord has set up before you, and I'm blowing the trumpet with everything that's in me. Will you hearken to it? Father, we thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for the strength you give us to stand today. Lord, I thank you for the old path. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the old rugged cross. God, I thank you for the old saints of God that's passed this way before me. And they blazed a trail for me. Lord, I'm so grateful that the path I'm on goes by the old-fashioned church. Lord, in that old-fashioned altar where I met you. Lord, help somebody today, Father, to ask for that path. Help somebody here this morning to see their sin and, Lord, see that they're unrighteous. God, they need to be saved today. Would you help somebody, Lord, to come this way this morning? Lord, touch somebody this morning, Father, that maybe they've started off down that path, but they kind of got sidetracked. Lord, would you help them to stop and see and ask for the old path? God, help them to get themselves straightened out and continue on their journey on the right road. Help us today, Father. Lord, we just ask you this morning. Father, I've done everything I can do. It's all in your hands. God bless here today. In Jesus' name, amen. While we stand this morning, while we sing, if you're here today and you're not on that old path, could I invite you to come this morning? Ask for the old path, and when you find it, will you walk in it? When you find it, will you turn your heart over to Jesus today while we sing this morning?